Heavenly Father, we pray that as we come to the beginning of your word in Genesis, that we will come to really wrestle with it, struggle with it, seek to understand it, and know what you want us to understand, so that we can live in a way that pleases you. Amen. What is it then that amazes you? I wonder if you could tell me what things amaze you. I've been thinking, I wonder whether you've been on a holiday to some magnificent parts of Australia or the world, and you just think, that is amazing. You've been to those places? Yeah, you've been to those places? I've been thinking about lots of different places that I've been to that have just been spectacular. But this week, I saw footage that just blew my mind away of these extra special zooming cameras that they have of the sun. And we've got the best pictures of the sun we've ever seen. Did you see these photos? There's one coming up on the screen now. There's a couple come up. Here's the sun in the clearest picture that we have so far of it. We can see the surface of the sun and the heat emanating from it. And you can see at the top there this big sort of flame thing coming off it. And all the science nerds that were telling us about it, well, they were popping out of their skin. They were so excited about this footage. And it is just amazing. What even blew my mind away about how amazing it was, can you see there on the right side, there's a little sort of whitish, yellow, spotty bit. Just there. That bit's about the size of the Earth. Just to give you some context. That's what they said on the news the other day, and I'm amazed by it. If you see the next slide come along, just another zoom-in picture of the flames coming off the sun, it is astounding. It is amazing. And things happen. Natural things happen in the world that are just quite phenomenal. And we know in the last couple of weeks, Neb could tell you that they've had lots of issues at the airport. What's happened in Iceland? If you see in the next slide, we see those clouds. They're not just clouds from the sky. They're clouds of ash from a volcano that have basically put the world at a standstill. Those clouds. It's been a phenomenal natural occurrence, which has meant the world stood still. And we see, not only was it a natural occurrence, we see amazing pictures that come out of it. On the next slide, we see, did you see these lightning flashes? That's on the volcano coming about from the ashes, interacting with science stuff that I don't know about. Talk to somebody. Simon, I think, knows about this sort of stuff. I've got no idea, but it just looks cool. It looks amazing. Creation is amazing. It's impressive. And as Christians, we believe God is behind all things. Sort of like our base starting point. If that's not your starting point, I want you to see why we would say that's the case over the next few weeks, and especially today. See, in Genesis 1 to 11, we find out what we know about God in the beginning. How we understand the world, how we understand, how we interact with science, how we interact with what people say about what humans are like, and all these sorts of things we find out in the Bible. And shock, horror, no matter what some out there people say, the Bible and science, the Bible and humanity's view on things aren't in conflict. They actually go together. And so we're going to be looking, as I said, over the next few weeks, the different themes of Genesis and ideas and main principles of the first 11 chapters. As we go to Genesis chapter 1, I want us to just read the beginning of it again. And as you may hear, I'm pushing with every fibre of my voice to get out there today because I've lost it a bit. And so I'm going to get some people to read the passage for me, because if I run out later, Amy, my daughter, said I should do it in sign language, and that's going to be a disaster if I try that. So help me out a bit. So, Nev, I wonder if you could read again, the first, in a loud voice, Genesis chapter 1. And I will just stop you. I'll just say stop, and just stop when I'm there. If you've got it in front of you, look on, and let's go. Stop. In the beginning, God. First words of the Bible start with, in the beginning, God. See, that's actually interesting because his existence is assumed and not proven in Genesis. It's not like we go on this massive debate and rational arguing about why God is there and how we can figure him out and that he must be there and all these sorts of things. It doesn't say, let me tell you why you need to believe God exists. It's simply God. Beginning, God. God is not trying to adjust himself. He's not trying to wave his hands in the air and go, look at me, I'm over here, you can believe in me, look at me over here. It's just God, I'm here. See, we're always trying to justify our existence in our lives. I know I do. And my guess is you all probably do. We'd like our friends to know we're there and what we want to be their friend, which leads us to bragging about things, doing certain exploits and all sorts of manner of things. God's existence is just assumed in the beginning of Genesis. That's because what Genesis is doing is introducing the reader to the real God who creates. See, because what's most generally assumed is that Moses probably wrote the book of Genesis as he wrote the first five books of the Bible. And there's reasons for that that we're not going to go into that today. But when this was written for God's people, probably around the Exodus, you know the Exodus, the whole story about when God's people left Egypt and wandering around in the desert, that famous story, that God's people were surrounded by cultures and nations that were pagan in their beliefs, that believed in Clash of the Titans type of God. Don't know if you saw that movie. I watched it. It was awesome. Absolutely loved it. And it was just another Hollywood attempt to take Greek mythology and make it into a good movie and not worry so much about facts, but it's kind of cool. But Genesis is sort of written to counter that view of gods. And it's still a view that's around today, and it's still a view that these people had to deal with. That there are lots of different types of gods, and they're fighting each other. It's chaos. The world is chaos. Gods are fighting each other. Humans and gods are fighting. It's what you saw in Clash of the Titans. And, well, the gods need humans' prayers. And so they expect of us our prayers. And if we don't give them our prayers, I'll try and speak louder, Jace. There we go. If we don't give them our prayers, well, then they're going to get angry at us. And so there's this conflict. There is this conflict. This context is what Genesis is more than likely written in. And so the way it starts is to say, you've got all these other gods around. There's all these other gods. You need to know, in the beginning there was God. One God. And so now, let me tell you about what this God is like. Let me tell you about him. So, you can see, he is quite different to the others. Pat, if you want to go to the next slides. Just keep on going through. Yep, in the beginning, God. But then, we find out God created in the next word. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. I wonder if we can figure out a little bit more about this just from a couple words in the whole of the chapter. I reckon we can. If you have a look down there, have a look at verse 3. And God said. Have a look at verse 6. And God said. Have a look at verse 9. And God said. Well, then God, and then God said in verse 11. Verse 14, no surprises. And God said. Verse 24, and God said. Verse 26, then God said. God created by just simply speaking. All the details, which we're not going to go in today, we're not about the details. In the morning, if you're really keen, and I'll be on the website, Stephen, Christopherides, and Marshall, when he gets back next week, they're going to look at Genesis 1 to 11 over 10 weeks and go through the passages in details. So if that interests you, that'd be great talks. This morning's was fantastic. But now I want us to just see the concept here. God speaks, the world's made. The world wasn't created in conflict. See, that's what the pagan view, the mythological view was that there was conflict. And the world out of chaos came into existence. The world wasn't created by an accident. God said, and it happened. There was purpose. And that's our first point where we maybe want to engage with science. We'll do a lot more talking about science and evolution next week. But here, what I want you to see is that whatever science discovers about the world, and some of the discoveries seem quite legitimate and valid, and we can take them on board, it wasn't an accident. There's somebody behind it. Somebody behind the science who created the world. It was God. God is behind it. He said, next slide, he said, and then the next line that comes up, let there be. And there was. It wasn't difficult. It wasn't difficult for God. And if that doesn't blow your mind, I want it to for the first time tonight. Do you remember that picture of the sun and just how amazing that is? God says, let there be a sun. There it is. Like, just easy for him. However he goes about it, it wasn't hard for him. Actually, my throat's struggling a bit. Pat, can you come bring me down that drink of water? I left it up on the sound desk. So if we can just have a second break as Pat comes down. We see it was easy for God. So I'll get Pat. Actually, Pat, I don't know that I want water. Can you go to the petrol station and get me some Gatorade? No? Oh, I bought it. See, I speak, and Pat got me the water, but he wouldn't go to the petrol station and get me a Gatorade, right? Why? Because my words aren't that powerful. My words are dependent upon how he's going to respond to me. Okay? I can pretend to be all powerful. I could speak really loudly and really forceful. But if Pat says, I'm not doing it, I've got nothing. Huh? So I'm going to have to put up with water. I need the water, actually. Still struggling. Now, God is not like that. He speaks with power. God speaks, the world comes into existence. And when he created the world, he created it with structure and order. Once again, different to what the other pagan gods and other ideas that were around was. There is order to things. And all the structure of talking about the days and creating parts of it, and then the animals and the plants and all the stuff in all their order, is to tell us that there's a point to this existence and there's an order to it. And we'll get to that a little bit more next week. But there's something even more interesting about who was doing the creating. There's something even more interesting. Have a look at verse 26. And just go one slide forward, Pat. Have a look at verse 26. Would somebody like to read verse 26 for me? Who's brave enough to do it? Anyone? Nev? Save me. Just have a look over the beginning of that verse. There's a really little word there that seems strange to be there. Anybody pick it up? Then God said, what might be the strange word? It's a common word. Pardon? Not quite our, but that's sort of close. Us. Then God said, let us make man in our image. What is going on there? God makes. What's going on here? Well, I think we see here that there's somebody there who is God. Who might that be? Well, if we turn to Colossians chapter 1, we'll see that there's not a secret person who's there that we don't know about. It's just God talking to himself. Colossians chapter 1, verse 15. I haven't got a page number. 1165. It's good to go there if you wanted to. You might not have noticed this before, and it's a really cool thing. He, Colossians is talking about Jesus, okay? So when it says he, it's Jesus. Jesus is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. For by him all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible. Whether thrones or powers or rules or authorities, all things were created by him and for him. Let us make God, his Father, is saying to the Son, the Trinity, the God who we believe in, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, is there a creation? It's not something that comes out later, always existed. Let us make man. Jesus is what the world was made through. As we see on the slide that comes up, the world, well, go forward, sorry, Pat. The world was created, to the next one, through your Son. See that? The world was created through Son. Jesus always existed. He is God. The Bible makes it very clear. That's one passage of many that say Jesus was the one that the world was made through. He has that much power and authority. He made the world. He is responsible for it. He is the one who gives eternal life. He is the one who gave all life. In fact, as we go back to Genesis 1, we even see that right at the beginning, in verse 2, it says the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters. Seems like even the Spirit was there at creation. Not really surprising. Jesus made the world. And this is really important. Why? Jesus creates. He is God. He's always existed. He's all-powerful. There's no power struggle. There's no super battle like when Liam Neeson, who was Zeus in Clash of the Titans, fights against his brother Hades. None of that. God is all-powerful. Jesus always existed. He became human and came into the world, but he always existed. That is a wonderful thing. But as the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit are there at creation, how do they go about it? Well, I want two volunteers to figure this out. I want two volunteers. You've got to come up the front. Okay, Alicia, you're up. One more volunteer. Oh, I might need somebody else, Harley, for this one. Sorry, mate. I need somebody else, I think, mate. I'll get Tale. Can you do it? No? Lisa, can you stand behind that one? And I'll get... Oh, look, I'm going to get Daniel. You come here. This is good. I just realised what I'm doing. This is good. Okay. Right, what's going to happen is, I need you to, right, I know what your favourite food is, but one of my favourite foods is ham and cheese sandwiches. Huh? So I actually want you to make me a ham and cheese sandwich, okay? All the stuff there you need is, make me a ham and cheese sandwich. I'm not joking, this is serious. Make me a ham and cheese sandwich. Yeah, make me a ham and cheese sandwich with all the stuff that's there. Go on, make it. Quick, come on. I'm serious. This is good. I've never got him to make me anything. Oh. How you going, Alicia? You going any good? No, I'm serious. This is good. So you're not doing too well there, Alicia. I see. It's not really good, and that's all right. That's all right. Hurry up. I'm hungry. Haven't had dinner yet. Oh, come on. That's all right. Alicia hasn't done very well. Daniel's not doing much better, actually. Hurry up. Go on. How hard is it to pull out ham? Why even got him sliced ham? Just one will be fine, thanks, all right? Okay. And then one piece of cheese. That's all you gotta do. And then I've got my ham and cheese sandwich. Right. And then whack it on top. Thank you. Excellent. Alicia, where's my ham and cheese sandwich? She didn't make me ham and cheese sandwich. I'm very disappointed, Alicia. All right, take a seat back down. And you can go sit back down as well. I'll have a bit of my ham and cheese sandwich. Huh? I'll eat that a bit later. What's that got to do with anything, you may be wondering? Anybody want to guess? No guesses? I am hungry. God makes like that.
Doesn't make likeness.
That wasn't my implication, Alicia. No. But thank you for coming up and not having anything to work with. The point is, God makes the world out of nothing. He has no materials. Daniel made me a sandwich. I like that idea of him making stuff, right? He made me a sandwich because I gave him materials to make me a sandwich, right? Ham and cheese, fantastic. I will definitely eat it. We can't make stuff out of nothing, right? You're all like Elisha. None of you can. God does. That is the point. That is, in the beginning, just God. When he says, I'm going to make the world, all those words, he makes it with nothing extra, because if it was extra, it would be created. God creates the world out of nothing. Before the world, there was only God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Everything God creates, everything he creates. That's really important. You see, the point is that there is only one God. And he creates everything. He is the master of the universe. That's our title for this series, The Master of the Universe. Not masters of the universe, as the world so often thinks, that there are many gods, that we are gods. He is the only master of the universe. See, the point of Genesis is not, as some people say, Genesis is stupid, it can't be real because it's got nothing to do with science, science has disproven it. Because Genesis is about saying, as we see on the next slide, it's about who. It's not about how. God is telling us, I am the one who created everything. I am, compared to all the other pagan gods, to every other anybody else who thinks they're God, I am, as we see come up, the one true living God. He is the one true living God. That is what Genesis wants you to know and take hold of and to love. There is only one master of the universe, and he is the only one to be worshipped. If he wanted to make a ham sandwich out of nothing, he could. You see, Genesis is about telling, it's like an evangelistic tool. It's like telling people about God. It's about saying, hey, you've got all these other views about God. I'm going to tell you that I'm the only God and you need to worship me. And that is what Paul did in our second reading today. That is what he did in our second reading in Acts chapter 17. See, in Acts, it's the story of how the church started, how the church kicked off and all the people started believing in Jesus. And at one stage, as Paul's travelling around the world as it was, he gets to Athens. Now, Athens, people love to talk about stuff in Athens. They love to have philosophy, and we find out in a little bit earlier than what we had read that there was a group at a place called the Areopagus, and they just used to talk around, sit around talking to each other about theories on life and people and things, never doing anything, it says in verse 22. But they never did anything. And as Paul's walking around, they had all these statues to all different gods and altars everywhere, and he's walking around and he's looking around to see what's there. He sees an altar, and it says, to an unknown god. They even had a statue for the god that they haven't even thought of yet. An altar, actually, to a god they haven't thought of yet. And Paul saw that and thought, aha, that's my way to tell them. And this is what he does. Now, give me a break. Can you read verse 24 and 25 again for me? Thank you.
God said that the land is living creatures according to their kinds.
Oh, sorry, Nev. Sorry, in Acts 17. That's all right. That could be clearer.
Paul then stood up in the meeting of the Areopagus and said, men of Athens, I see that in every way you are very religious. For as I walked around and looked carefully at the objects of worship, I even found an altar with this inscription to an unknown god. Now what if you worship as something unknown? I'm going to proclaim to you. The god who made
what he's done is he said, guys, you even recognize you don't really know who God is. Let me tell you about him. This guy is the one who made the heavens and the earth. He tells them about basically what Genesis is all about. He says, there is this guy, God, who made everything. You don't have to worry about all the other ones. There's just one, he tells them. And he says in verse 28, he's the one who gives us life. You guys keep on talking about stuff, going on and on, because he gives you life and breath. But you know what Paul then does? He doesn't just go, oh, well, you need to know that. He then makes that an avenue for him to tell them about Jesus. You see, in verse 32, we find out, when they heard about the resurrection of the dead, that there will be life again after this world because of Jesus, some of them sneered, but others said, we want to hear more. And then others became Christians. You see, the story of Genesis is not one of how things are made. It's one of, you need to know that there is one true living God, you need to believe in him, and ultimately that's Jesus who saves you, as Paul shows us. It's a fantastic beginning to the Bible, because we are left knowing there is one true God. There is one master of the universe. Your worship, as we finish right now, your worship must be directed to him. You don't get an option like they did at the Areopagus. They thought they could have lots of options. No, you get one option because there's only one God. You can have as many options as there are realities. And there's one. That's your God. And like Paul, we want to show ourselves and others that this one true living God demands our worship. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we give you great thanks that we see in Genesis chapter 1 that you made the world with your word through the Son out of nothing. We thank you that we see that you are the one to worship. And as we'll see over the next few weeks, you love us dearly and you want us to be friends with you forever. Amen.